What is just in intonation and attribution this time on Culture File? Our regular correspondent, University of Oxford Professor of Composition Jennifer Walsh, is a champion and a former collaborator of the late American composer Tony Conrad. Conrad was a pioneering artist who, alongside Lamont Young, was one of the members of the Dream Syndicate, an innovative 1960s ensemble with a huge but complicated legacy in music, one that for a long time saw Conrad unable to control his own music. Jennifer Walsh recorded an album with Conrad in the last years of his life in 2016, which has just been released. So Culture File asked her to introduce us to the sounds and the enduring musical ideas of Tony Conrad for a special program we'll be broadcasting next month. But this time, we're going to have an introduction to that introduction to Tony Conrad.
Because everybody is so used to hearing Steve Reich and Philip Glass, you know, and those tracks, like I remember reading an interview with Philip Glass in NME back in the 90s, and it said he was the highest paid composer in the world. So that's sort of what I would call like really crisp, clean, rhythmic minimalism. That's become what we think of when we talk about minimalism. But I'm really interested in, you know, what Tony was doing, because there's something even rawer. You know, it's going back even further. It's saying, okay, let's strip even more away until we're just there with raw sound. And I think that's something really special. Tony was born in 1940, so he's in New York in the 60s, you know, and he's like a young guy in his 20s. I knew him when he was in his late 60s and early 70s. So when I'm talking about Tony in his 20s, I'm also sort of thinking back through time of how I knew him and the stories that he would tell me about that time. So he was sort of in this very creative world. And legend has it that he had a book called The Velvet Underground, and Lou Reed saw that, and that's how the name of The Velvet Underground came to be.
And actually, if you listen to Tony Conrad's own music and you're familiar with The Velvet Underground, you do hear a lot of the same seeds, maybe.
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I hear The Velvet Underground and I hear John Cale's viola drones, I think of Tony. Okay, so I would have listened to The Velvet Underground before I listened to The Dream Syndicate, or what's also known as the Theatre of Eternal Music, this group that consisted of Lamont Young, Marion Zazila, John Cale, and Tony Conrad doing these long-form drones together. He had studied maths, and so when he started playing with Lamont Young and John Cale and Marion Zazila, Tony was very interested in just intonation tuning. For anyone who's unfamiliar with the term, just intonation tuning is actually the natural way that notes are tuned. So if you play up an empty pipe, you play up these different harmonics, whereas when you play the piano, everything's been tuned to sort of fit into what we call equal temperament, 12 chromatic notes per octave. That was something he brought to the group. And Lamont Young, who's still alive, minimalist composer, Lamont Young was also interested in these sort of just intonation relationships. And so when they were improvising with the group that came to be known as either the Dream Syndicate or the Theatre of Eternal Music, they were using these just intonation intervals to drone for very long periods of time, because if you really tune things properly like that, you get all these beautiful harmonics and overtones above. So when I hear The Velvet Underground and I hear the drones, and even when I hear Nico, those amazing, amazing albums that John Cale did with Nico, I hear that influence of these drones and these pure number relationships. And so certainly when I hear this recording, Inside the Dream Syndicate, Volume 1, Day of Niagara, you get this sense of what they were doing together as people, you know, and you can sort of hear what was happening, and you can even hear these drones that you're going to hear in The Velvet Underground, that you're going to hear in Nico's solo albums that she did with John Cale, that you're going to hear in Tony's music. So you can see this was sort of a common concern. And this recording is supposed to have been recorded on the 25th of April, 1965. And then it was released by Table of the Elements, who's a fantastic label that actually released a lot of Tony's music later on down the line.
This was all happening in the context of a kind of a really vibrant new music scene in Manhattan at the time. But it sort of turned out rather unhappily because obviously Lamont Young and Tony Conrad had an awful lot in common, and John Cale as well, with how they felt about music. But that turned out to be a problem.
It really is heartbreaking in that you had a scene where you had people, and at the time they were in their 20s, you know, they're young people and they're improvising together, and the different people involved in those sessions consider it improvisation. John Cale has said he considered it improvisation, a group improvisation, something that they created together. So has Tony. Tony said it many, many times. But ultimately, the person who pressed record on the tape recorder and who had the tape recorder was Lamont Young. And so Lamont Young, at a certain point, said he refused to release any of these recordings unless everybody signed a document saying that they were actually compositions by Lamont Young as opposed to group improvisations. And Tony talked a lot about this time in his life as a time where he really felt he wanted to get rid of composition. That's the phrase he used to use, that he felt like composers were outdated, and it was about what Christopher Small would call musicking. It was about people together making music. And you sort of have this beautiful vision of group improvisation, and then that comes crashing down when Lamont Young says, well, retrospectively, I'm calling these my compositions, and I'm not going to let you have access to the tapes. Four Violins fits in chronologically, but it's also proof that this sort of sound world that the Dream Syndicate were playing in, that Tony was also doing it independently, because Four Violins, the legend has it, is a recording that Tony made by himself in 1964, trying these different drones out. To me, it sounds exactly like Tony, this very overdriven sound on the violins. But it didn't surface until the 90s. It was proof that this world of just intonation and drone, that this was something that Tony was doing independently. So it's sort of an artistic vindication. You know, fantastic drone music, really overdriven like rock music is. You know, like a rock music guitar would be full of all these different tones and harmonics from this gorgeous just intonation tuning, this world that you can just melt into. And I didn't know immediately, this is also this sort of vindication of this decades-long, you know, argument between the members of the Dream Syndicate and Lamont Young as to who had a stake in this music.
Jennifer Walsh there on the sound world of the late composer Tony Conrad. And you can hear the full version of that programme in the Culturefile weekly slot on Saturday, August 3rd.